You turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5, that is going to be our lesson text for the morning. The account of Naaman, captain of the Syrian army. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 beginning, the Bible says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said unto her mistress, 'Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, 'Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' It came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send to me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.' And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he had sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May not I wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean?' Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all of his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, 'Behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant.'" Kind of a long reading this morning, but that's going to be our lesson text. And what I want us to do is consider some points from the account of Naaman here in 2 Kings chapter 5. Now, this is not going to be an exhaustive list, of course. You could add to these points, I am sure. But consider with me first the fact that Naaman had a great disease of leprosy. This was a dreaded, incurable disease. Easton's Bible Dictionary says this, quote, "This disease begins with specks on the eyelids and on the palms, generally spreading over the body, bleaching the hair white wherever they appear, crusting the affected parts with white scales, and causing terrible sores and swellings. From the skin, the disease eats inward to the bones, rotting the whole body piecemeal." End of quote. This was an incurable disease. This was a terrible disease, and it has been rightly likened unto sin. That leprosy of the first century, and I'm hoping to develop a sermon comparing leprosy with sin in its fullness, but leprosy has been likened correctly to sin. Leprosy, however, like sin, can only be removed by God. Only God had the cure. Naaman's greatness could not save him. Did you notice verse 1 that Naaman was a great man, that he was honorable, he was a mighty man in valor? But although he was a great individual, had the accolades of a lot of people in his war efforts and in his service to his country and so forth and so on, he could not save himself. He could not save himself from his disease, this disease of leprosy. Verse 1. But then notice with me in verse 3 and verses 8 through 10, that Naaman is told how to be cured. In verse 3, it says, this little maid who waited on Naaman's wife said unto her mistress, "Would God that my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Naaman receives word that there's a prophet of God in Israel who is able to cure him, of this disease. This little Israelite girl is spreading good news. She knew that there was a cure for this disease that he had, and she was spreading the good news of this cure that Naaman could be healed of his leprosy. Even in like manner, spiritual Israel, we have the cure according to the word of God to the great dreaded disease of sin. We need to be going about in our daily lives of spreading the good news of the cure given by the blood of Jesus Christ, given by obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, of the cure that people can be cured of the sin that they are afflicted with. No matter how great they may think they are, no matter what wonders they may have done in the world as far as the civil or military or whatever the case may be, there's a God in heaven that can cure them of their great sin. But back to Naaman. Naaman in verse 8, he says, Naaman entered Israel and Elijah sends for him. Elijah does it so that he shall know there is a prophet in Israel. Verse 8. Elisha sends a messenger to Naaman and tells him to go and wash in the river Jordan 7 times and he shall be clean. Verse 8 beginning. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean." He tells him to go and wash in the river Jordan. Now this is more than just merely taking a bath. Notice in verse 14, we read that Naaman dipped, that is to plunge, to submerge 7 times in the River Jordan. So when he used the word wash, Naaman of course understand the man of God to be saying, go and immerse yourself, go and submerge yourself 7 times in the River Jordan. Someone says, "Well, now is that what kind of water salvation is this of his great disease of leprosy?" Do you ever realize? Have you ever realized how many times that God puts water between his blessings and mankind? Noah and his family were saved from the wicked antediluvian world by water. How they were saved by water. 1 Peter 3 verse 20 speaks of this, that they were saved by water, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Just as they were saved from a wicked world by water, we can be saved in the waters of baptism from our disease of sin, be saved from the wicked world that we live in. Moses and the Israelites were saved from Pharaoh's army by the waters of the Red Sea. In Exodus 14, it says they went across on dry ground and said there was water on both sides of them, on the right hand and to the left, because God had divided the water by a mighty wind. But just like sin being destroyed in the waters of baptism, Pharaoh's army was destroyed in the waters of the Red Sea when God allowed the waters to come together. When they were pursuing after the Israelites, God allowed the water to come together. And the Egyptian army was destroyed in the waters of the Red Sea. Their salvation, Noah's salvation, rested in the water that would save him from the wicked world that he was in. Moses and the Israelites were saved by Pharaoh's army. How? By water. God's blessings was on the other side of the water. What about a New Testament example? We remember in John 9, there was a man that was born blind, and Jesus spit on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed his eyes, and he said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." And the blind man went and he washed in the pool of Siloam, and the Bible says that he came seeing. When he obeyed God, after he had washed his eyes, it was after obedience. It was on the other side of the water that he received the blessing that God, Jesus, had promised him. God has placed His blessing on the other side of water many times throughout the Bible. Naaman's plan of cleansing, if you will, was given by God's grace. Yes, but did you notice it had conditions? He had to go and dip 7 times in the River Jordan. Mankind today must really realize that salvation in Christ is conditional. God has placed conditions. Oh, it is by God's grace indeed. And those things that make up the plan of salvation are manifestations of God's grace and mercy. We had a sermon on that not too long ago. But it's not unconditional. Man has conditions in which he must meet. And some people don't like that, just like Naaman didn't, because notice next, Naaman got angry. That word anger literally means to be furious. That is the reaction of most people when they are confronted with the truth of God's word. Naaman didn't like what the man of God had to tell him. He was wroth. The command of the prophet, which had come from God, made that leper angry. But it's been often pointed out, here in a moment he's going to storm away. But when he storms away, when he was angry, but he was still a leper. It did not change anything. People often do not want to be confronted with the truth of God's word. They don't want to hear a thus saith the Lord in regard to religious matters, in regard to their salvation. They'll make statements such as, well, now you say that, Jerry, but now you can prove anything by the Bible. Or they'll say, well, now that's just your interpretation of it. That's just your interpretation, as if that diffuses the whole situation. Or they'll say something like, well, now just who are you to tell me what is right or wrong? Well, that is not the case. Just because one gets mad does not change truth. Naaman's anger did not heal his leprosy. One cannot change your weight by smashing the scales. If you could do it, mine would be in pieces right now. But truth is truth, regardless how mad you may get. And notice, he had the wrong thinking. He said, not only did he get mad, he said, I thought. Wrong thinking was his main problem. God does not discourage thinking, but rather he wants us to learn and practice right thinking, right reasoning. We must learn to reason correctly about the teaching of the Bible. Most religious people follow man-made doctrines because they think it is all right. I don't see what's wrong with it, they'll say. Oh, I like it. I think it's good, they'll say. God's people are not to be ruled by what we think, but by what is written. And we cannot substitute parts of God's law for something that we like or that we want. Notice, Naaman was wroth. He said, I thought, surely you're going to come out and you're going to call on the name of the Lord your God, strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. He thought there'd be some great, magnificent manifestation of his healing. There are people today that look for some kind of great, magnificent manifestation of their forgiveness of sins. Well, I had a vision. I felt this. I heard that. There was a ringing in my ears, whatever the case may be. Friends, that's not the case. Here Naaman thought that there would be some great miraculous manifestation that would occur. And then he tried to replace what God had said. What did God say to him? He said, go wash where? Go wash in the Jordan. Oh, but he says, now wait a minute. What about Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus? They're better than all the waters of Israel. May I not wash in them and be clean? No. Why not? God had specified where to go wash. God had commanded. God had said where Naaman was to go. He was not to substitute something else for what God said. He was not to substitute my I prefers in place of a thus saith the Lord. God had been specific. It would be very difficult to misunderstand. God had told him the what, the dip or wash, the how many, 7 times, and the where, River Jordan. Unless he met all of God's commands, unless he obeyed all God's commands, met all of his conditions, He was not going to be cured of his leprosy. Many today do not like the message of the gospel. They'll become angry, appeal to their feelings, other subjective standards or demonstrations. They reject the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ in preference to what I thought. Brother Burton Kaufman said this. He said, "This writer vividly remembers an incident in 1932 at the base hospital in Fort Sill, Oklahoma, where the wife of a high-ranking military officer fell ill while visiting her son in that area. She sent word to this young preacher to visit her, and she asked what to do to be saved, since she realized that death was near. The great passages pertaining to the forgiveness of sins was found in the Holy New Testament, were read to her, were read in her hearing. Prayers were offered, and she was invited and urged to obey the gospel. She thought about it a while, and then said, 'Well, baptism has always seemed to me to be such an insignificant thing that I just can't believe that it would do any good.'" She replaced a "Thus saith the Lord" with a "Well, I thought baptism wouldn't do any good. I thought," you're in essence saying, "obedience to God is not important. One may get angry, but God has said what He has said. God has made the commands that He has made. God has spoken the truth of the matter. Whether we get mad or if we decide we want to try and change it does not change the fact of the truth of what God said. And we will not receive God's blessings unless we are obedient to Him." And thankfully for Naaman, level heads came to bear. Naaman is swayed by the reasoning of his servants in verse 13. "And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean?'" He had some very wise servants that was influencing him. So Naaman went down, verse 14. He dipped himself. Notice that is synonymous with the "go and wash" of verse 9. And even the "wash" of verse 13 when the servants are speaking to him. He goes and he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. Now many have said that the tense of these words here and the way the structure is made that, and I believe this is indeed true, that he dipped the first time, he's still a leper. Second time, still a leper. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth. How many times did God say dip? 7. 7th time, when he came up out of the water, the Bible says his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a child, or literally some translations may say young man, and he was clean. But when was he cleansed of this disease? He was cleansed of his disease when he obeyed the words of the man of God. He was cleansed of his disease when he obeyed the God of heaven. He was cleansed of his sin or of his disease when he was dipped, when he dipped 7 times in the river Jordan. It was then and only when he obeyed the commands of God that he was cleansed of his leprosy. He had to obey all of what God said to receive God's promised blessing. What was the blessing in his case? The healing of his disease of leprosy. Likewise today, God through the New Testament has given commands to be obeyed if we are to be cleansed of our sin, of our great dreaded disease of sin. We are unable to forgive ourselves of our sin. This is going to take the forgiveness of God because one must believe. And here's the truth of the matter. Because Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, "Unless you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins." One must believe. Most people say, "Well, I can amen that. I ain't got a problem with that." That's exactly right. That's true. Yeah. Well, one must repent. One must turn away from a life of sin. Turn toward obedience to the God of heaven and His will and His word. Because Jesus said in Luke 13:3, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Many people would say, "That's right. Amen. That's exactly right. One must repent. One cannot continue to live the life of habitual sin and be pleasing to God. One must repent of that sin, of that life of sin, and obey what God has said." That's exactly right. Well, the Bible says one must confess, because Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 32, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. There are a great many people even would say, well, that's right too. Because Jesus said it, one must confess with one's mouth unto salvation. It is leading to salvation. Exactly. Exactly. One must do that. But then the Bible says in Mark 16, 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Them are the words of Jesus. At that point, they become wroth. And then they'll say, now wait a minute, wait a minute. I thought that we are saved by faith only through grace only. Well, wait a minute. If we're saved by faith only, that eliminates grace. And if we're saved by grace only, that eliminates faith, because that's two things, but that don't make anything only. We're not saved just by faith, because you remember James 2, verse 24, isn't it? That says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only? They say, no, I don't believe that. I don't believe that, because I thought baptism was just a work in which you are trying to earn your salvation. Baptism is something in which you're trying to merit your salvation, put God under some kind of obligation. Yeah, that's it. That's what baptism is. Well, yes, indeed, one must be baptized. One must be baptized for, that is, unto, in order to receive the forgiveness of sin. That is what the Bible teaches. But now notice what Naaman recognized in verse 15. Verse 15, the Bible says, and he returned to the man of God, he and all of his company. Now this is after his leprosy had been cleansed. He had dipped seven times. He had obeyed the word and will of God. And he returned to the man of God, he and all of his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Naaman recognized whence his cleansing came. He obeyed God's commands, and he was healed. He did not say, what a good boy was I earned that. No, he recognized from whence his cleansing came from. He says, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Many today will deny the necessity of baptism, claim it's something we do to earn salvation. That's something that man cannot do. True. While it is true that man cannot earn salvation, one cannot merit salvation, one cannot deserve salvation, to obey the commands of God does not cause one to earn salvation any more than Naaman earned his cleansing. Naaman recognized he did not earn his healing, his cleansing from his disease. He recognized this was an act of God. This was something that he had to obey. Yes, God had given him conditions, yes, and when he met those conditions, he received the blessing. But in no way can, in verse 15, one understand that to say, well, now I earned that. Yeah, I deserved that, because I went down, I dipped seven times in the River Jordan. That is not contained within this passage. He recognized from whence his salvation from leprosy came. Likewise, we, in obedience to God's commands, are forgiven of our sin when we recognize, and we recognize from whence our salvation comes. We recognize that we do not earn our salvation. We do not deserve salvation from sin. But must we obey God to receive the remission of sins? Yes, indeed. Just as Naaman did not receive the blessing of the healing of his disease of leprosy, in like manner, one today is not forgiven of their sin until they have obeyed the commands of the will of God. That's just the Bible truth of the matter. That's what one can learn from this account of Naaman that is applicable to today. We've given the plan of salvation. Give book, chapter, and verse in regard to that. Well, many people would agree with that one must believe. Many people would agree with one must repent. One must be baptized, or excuse me, one must confess the name of Jesus Christ. But as we mentioned a moment ago, in 1 Peter 3, verse 21, there the Bible says, well, I'll tell you what, if you back up to verse 20, The Bible says, so sometime, which sometime were disobedient when the long-suffering of God waited. Now notice this time frame. In the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Now, was there anything that Noah had to do to receive salvation from this wicked world? The waters are coming. Yes, he had to build an ark. If you notice, all through the Genesis account of Noah, you see that he was obedient to the commands of the Lord. And upon which side of the water was he delivered? It was on the other side of the water when the ark came to rest in the mountains of Ararat. He was delivered from an evil and wicked world. And then Peter goes on to say in verse 21, the like figure, in like manner, corresponding to this, just as he was saved by water, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Some people say, I don't like that. That makes me mad. That don't change the truth of it. I think I mentioned this before. I was having a discussion with an individual, and he said, I don't believe baptism saves you. I said, okay, and I get a piece of paper, and I draw a line down the middle of it, and I write his name at the top. I said, Jeff does not believe baptism saves you. Now I said, now take your Bible and read 1 Peter 3, verse 21, and he reads it. And I said, now Peter says baptism does save us. I said, is that a true statement? He said, well, yeah, it looks like it is. I said, now who am I going to believe? Am I going to believe you or am I going to believe Peter? Peter says baptism doth also now save us. Some people say, well, I don't like it because I thought, you see what that got Naaman? When he had that kind of wrong thinking, when he went away angry, when he went away mad, he was still a leper. It wasn't until he obeyed what God had commanded did he have the healing of his leprosy. In like manner, you can obey the gospel this morning. The great dreaded disease of sin that one has can be forgiven, washed by the blood of the Lamb, forgiven when one is baptized into Christ. It's not power in the water. It's not power in the preacher. It is one being forgiven by the grace and mercy of God because we have obeyed His commands. You can do that this very morning. And just as Naaman was cleansed of his leprosy, you can be cleansed of the sin that afflicts you. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel in time past and you need to come back to your first love. Come back to the Lord's church. The path for backsliding Christians is clearly revealed in the New Testament. There is where penitence and prayer comes in. If it's of a private nature, pray to God on your own. Ask for God's forgiveness. If it's of a public nature and you need to come forward to ask for the prayers of your brothers and sisters and to repent of your sin, you can do that this morning. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Welcome you back to God's flock. Whatever your need might be, come forward as together we stand and we sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.